Dear dog sitter, take care of our dogs.
Yeah.
The end.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
It's mid-November. That means it's time for OmegaCon. We're at Siren, Wisconsin, playing some new games, and we're going to tell you all about what we played and enjoyed.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover. I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
It's me, I'm Molly Glover.
And Tim Wick.
Hello, let me roll these dice to determine what we will talk about today.
Oh, the dice are fixed, because we're at OmegaCon. Every fall, we go to Siren, Wisconsin, to this little cozy relax-a-con at the lodge at Crooked Lake. And everyone puts on pajamas, and we play board games and Slack. I suppose we don't exclusively play board games, but that seems to be...
That's a lot of it.
That's essential focus.
Board and card games.
I'm wearing
tabletop
pajamas.
Games.
I'm wearing pajamas right now.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't, and then I had to change because it's so fucking hot that I was dying.
I tend to dress at OmegaCon like it's summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I wear like comfortable... I don't really wear pajamas, but I wear like comfortable pajama-ish summer clothes.
Yeah.
So
it's
we all bring a whole bunch of games. People set their games out. We play games.
We try to play new games.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great place to play new games because everyone kind of brings their stuff and sets it out on tables for people to grab and try out. And there's a good chance that there's someone there that has played the game you want to learn, which I feel like if I'm going to spend my OmegaCon time playing a new game, I would prefer it be with someone that's played it before, so
right,
that we can get over that hump of...
Yeah, because the hardest thing is when you get somebody's reading the rules and sort of training themselves before they can train anybody else. But the nice thing about OmegaCon is, yeah, there's almost always somebody who's like, oh yeah, I've played this before. Who wants to give it a go with me?
That said, Nick and I did play two or three games that were for two players that we just learned and played.
Yeah.
Neither of us had played, and I can only remember two of them right now, so now I'm trying to think of what the third one was.
I can only remember two, and I don't remember us playing a third. I know we played the Star Wars deck builder game.
I had three games that I brought over. Maybe we didn't play the third one.
Maybe. Hmm, yeah.
Hmm.
Let's talk about games we've played before first, before we get to the new stuff. Molly and I, a standby for us, if it's just the two of us, and we're like, let's just play something... Now, Quick Us is the Star Wars deck building game.
Yes.
Right.
Very fun.
Easy, quick, fun. It's Molly. It's a game that you are statistically better at it than any other game you play.
It's true. I can win it like some of the time.
Yeah.
I usually don't win games. That's the thing about me. I'm not good at... I don't care to win.
You're not
so
playing
I don't
to
try.
Win. You're playing to have fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Tim, did you play anything that's an old reliable?
Sure. I played a game that it's the first time I think I played it in OmegaCon, but it's one that we actually play at home a lot called So Clover.
Hmm.
If you've played just one, it has a little bit in common with that game in the sense that, but what you have is you have square cards that have a word on all four sides. All right, so the game board, you put down four of those square cards. So there are now two words on each edge. And you have to come up with a single word that can get people to guess what the two words on that edge are.
Oh, kind of like code names a little bit, too.
A little bit. So, you know, if you've got, you might have something like prison and pigeon. And now you have to figure out maybe cage is a word that might get people to get both of those words.
Sure.
So they've got the four words and those are their only hints, but now they've got the four cards that are not in position on the game board.
Okay.
And they get a fifth card as well. So there's a decoy.
Ah.
So they have to try and figure out based on your clues where the cards were placed on the game board.
Like a Venn diagram kind of.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
And it's you can play with scoring, but we basically don't. We just, you can play up to six, and usually we find six people to play, And you just play everybody's game board, and the goal is to get it in three guesses or less. So if you guess wrong, then whatever cards you put in the wrong position are removed. So if you got three out of four correct, then those three stay, and you only have to replace one. And if you can do it in three, then you, quote, win. And if you don't do it in three, you're supposed to stop, but we never stop until we get it right.
Yeah,
because we're stubborn motherfuckers.
Well, and just to get it right. That's the fun of it,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's it. And then because we were playing it with my son Alex, who is now a regular at OmegaCon, there's generally a lot of chatting at the end as to why you pick particular words that everybody thinks were stupid. So
another old reliable for us is Mahjong.
Yes, yep. We played Mahjong with Wendy and Heather.
Claire.
Wendy and Claire. Yep. We played Mahjong, and Wendy won three games in a row.
Yeah, she said she was something of a Mahjong shark.
It was just happening. She was just like, she said she had, it was a really good combination of luck and picking a good strategy that worked out.
Mm-hmm. She and I, all four games, I think we were going for the same suits and streaks, and because she was sitting to my left, that means I didn't get anything she discarded when we were going for the same stuff.
All four games, I was one tile away from Mahjong, or maybe two tiles away from Mahjong from about turn four.
Yeah.
And then would just sit there and couldn't get anything and couldn't figure out how to make it go. It was very funny.
It's tricky. You can really paint yourself into a corner in that game.
Especially if you get dealt an opening hand of tiles that is like, oh my God, I'm so close. Like,
right.
Why would you give those up? Like,
it can be a trap.
Yep, it can be.
It's a trap.
A game I played that with Tim and I played.
A new one?
A new game that Tim and I played that Nick did not play is Rip Off.
That was fun.
And it was fun. So this is a very simple game. It comes with a big stack of fake money, fake $100 bills.
Oh, you told me about this one. Yeah.
And then the other thing in the box is a deck of cards, small square cards, and each of those cards has a picture on it. Some kind, just a picture of something like a hat or golf clubs
or a limousine,
or a skateboard or an apple. And so you deal up three cards. And it'll be three pictures, and you have to take your paper fake dollar bill and tear off a piece of it that will cover at least two of the pictures entirely. And everyone looks. You put your scrap on the cart, and everyone's got to make sure there isn't even a tiny hair of the picture showing. And the idea is to tear off the smallest piece possible while also covering two things. Because if you can't cover two of the pictures, you have to start over.
You have to
take
a
new piece, and so you've wasted that piece. Yes. So it's a kind of a press your luck game in the sense that you really need to like figure out, you know, should I just go for a big piece and not have to worry about it, or should I really try? And you can't like hold up your dollar bill and measure it. And even though Wendy said she wasn't measuring, she's like hovering over. She's standing there. She's taking forever.
She's like, I'm not really measuring it. She's like standing and holding it back, so she's not holding it. Yeah,
like it's all right. But in any event, it's really fun. And then you basically, if you can cover up to two, or if you can cover two pictures, you move on to the next round. Sometimes a card will be drawn that means you have to cover all three. Sometimes a card will be drawn that means you only have to cover one.
Right.
You know ahead of time what that is. And then, so if you've managed to do it, you move on to the next round. If you don't, you're just out and you just wait. And then the people who keep advancing, once you get to the point where nobody can advance anymore, whoever has dollar bill left, you measure to see whose is bigger. And so who's the biggest saver? They saved the most money.
Once you tear the bill apart, it's not actually worth anything. I don't think they realized that.
I don't think it was legal tender to start with, actually.
I think it said not legal tender on the bill.
Plus, the guy on the front did not look like a president
He
looked
president.
A little wacky. But yeah, that was really fun. It's a silly game. It is not available for purchase fucking anywhere that I could find online.
Yeah.
It was Jeremy's game. Apparently he just found it in some game shop. So
yeah. So you can't get it anywhere. So I'm glad we told people about
it. It's called Rip Off. If you see it, you should buy it.
Yeah. Look in Half Price Books or something.
Yeah.
Molly and I, we got in one game of a new game that Tim, you own, but you haven't played yet, that a lot of people have seen on like Facebook and Kickstarter and advertised probably.
Oh, yeah.
Tiny Laser Heist.
Ah, yes.
You build a sort of a cube cage around a museum, and the walls and floor of the cage have notches in them. You're setting up little diamonds with balanced locks on them, and
all really nicely molded plastic.
And then you string elastic lengths of string with little rubber knobs on the end into those notches to make a grid of lasers protecting the gems. And you have to kind of collaborate with someone else to move the gems, move the locks, and steal the gem, because each person gets one, like effectively like a nice plastic straw with a rubber hand on the end. And so in order to move anything around, you need to enlist another burglar onto your crew to hold the other hand and coordinate and move things around. There are a bunch of different little obstacles there, like you can only set down locks on another stack once. So if you had a stack of four locks you needed to move before stealing the gem, you'd either have to precariously balance all four locks onto another stack, or split it in two and do two on one stack and two on another stack.
And everything's very loosey-goosey. Like, it doesn't, like, neatly... I mean, they do stack into each other, but they are also, like, they're not... They don't tightly stack.
Right.
Like, they are...
No.
It's a wacky-wobbly nonsense.
Yeah. But then there are mechanics to betray and backstab and complicate missions. Like, Molly and Claire went on a heist together, and I felt left out on that one. So I played a card early on that meant that they couldn't talk for all of their collaboration.
Yeah, I was part of that one, too.
Yeah,
that was like one heist.
Yeah.
And that was the one.
Claire is an ASL translator, and Molly's been practicing ASL for years. So, I mean...
I'm not amazing at sign language, but we were able to fingerspell, and I know some signs, and Claire was able to spell out to me, do you want me to stabilize this from the top or from the sides? Where is Tim going to be? And like we were able to plan the heist a little bit at least.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And there's things like add 30 seconds to your timer and you know, rules about what walls you can go in and out of the ceiling, go in and out.
There's a timer you log in, go to a website on your phone, and the timer is basically like, boop, boop,
30 seconds.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, it makes you nervous.
It does. It definitely does.
It gets your heart up. And if you can touch the lasers, but they're kind of a hair trigger. So if they come undone, then you lose.
That's if you bump against them a little bit, it's okay. But if they spring loose, which they will do, it just seems like if you touch them just the wrong way, they can spring.
Yeah.
If you're pushing them in the right direction, you get quite a bit of leeway with them. But if you push them in a way that's out of their notch, they'll pop real easy. Yeah. It's fun. We got to play the one time, but it was quite a spectacle.
Isn't it? It's the same company that made Abduction, isn't it?
It's the same company that made Ransom Notes and the Venn Diagrams game. Very special games. I'm trying to think of the other one. Puns of Anarchy. They made that one too.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, it's a sort of elaborate game, but fun and So it sort of feels high stakes and low stakes at the same time.
Right.
We also all played Phantom Inc. together, which was a new game to me and Nick. Was it new to you, Tim?
No, it was not new to me, and I totally owned it for the one round I was there.
Yeah, we had a good time with that one. So that's a game where it's kind of like Dixit in the sense, or Mysterium, where that one person on your team is a non-verbal player kind of, and they are a ghost. You're communicating with them via spirit board kind of, right? And so what you're doing is you have this the team has a hand of questions you can ask your ghost, and the ghost has one word that both teams are trying to guess. There's two ghosts, two teams, and they have one word they're trying to get everyone to guess.
Both ghosts are trying to get their teams to guess the word brick.
It's like Password in that sense. If you've seen the game show Password. So there's one password, and we're all trying to guess it, and we are asking questions, but we don't get to see what question we're actually asking. So our team gives two question cards to our ghost. Our ghost picks one of those to answer and then puts the other one down where everyone can see it. So everyone knows the ghost is not answering this question for whatever reason.
Right. But only one team team knows which ghost question the ghost
yes.
is answering.
And so then the ghost answers the question one letter at a time, and you only want to get as, you want to get as few letters as possible so that the other team isn't necessarily going to be able to guess. It was a lot harder and also easier than I was expecting. That sounds weird.
It can
but
be
like,
very challenging.
It was really fun.
I was only proud because of the one round that we played, and I was entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one round we played, the first word was started with C-U-L,
mm-hmm.
and we thought it might have been cult.
Sure.
And then our word started with B-R-E, and we were pretty sure the word was bread. And the question was, what is it made out of? And I'm like, oh, something that's made out of bread and has a cult? Jesus! It didn't turn out to be that.
It was not.
The right
it
word.
Was not
it was
Jesus.
Yeah. Toast.
It was toast,
which I also figured out. But that's not the point. Jesus fits more with this podcast, which is why I brought it up.
It was a fun game. I would play that again with a group of people. It was a solid time.
Let's see. What else? We actually did something weird. We were talking about chain murder. So we were playing a game called Bone Town, which we've talked about on this podcast before. It's a very, it's kind of like the game or the mind where you're all trying to put cards down in the right order without actually talking to each other. And the only thing you can say is the word Bone Town and with as much emotion as you want to convey. But while we were playing that, we started talking about playing chain murder, which is an improv game that we play at Vilification Tennis all the time. And some of the people we were playing with were like, that sounds fun. I'd play that. And so we ended up having a big, fun game of chain murder with a bunch of people who've never played it before.
I think like maybe like five or six people that have never done that game before ended up getting up and playing. It's like charades and telephone kind of combined.
A little bit, yeah.
You can only speak in gibberish and you can sing, but you can't say words. Like you can be like, da na 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 if you want to do the president,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
But and then you are trying to convey, you're trying to both guess and then convey to the next person a profession, a location, and a murder weapon. And so it's as you go, you know, things can get a little crazy, but it's really fun to see people do either the exact same mime, you know, over and over. Like, for example, I was trying to get someone to guess fireplace poker. So I built a little fire in a fireplace. I opened the grate. I opened the chimney flue to make sure it wasn't like a bonfire. It was clearly a fireplace. And then for some reason, I was like showing a poker. And then I'm like, I better make sure they know it's not any of the other tools. So I was like, this tool, no. This tool, no. It's the poker. And that like kept going.
That carried. Yeah.
Through everything, which actually made things way worse toward the end because it complicated things.
Actually,
things. So it was very funny.
Thought, and that was, I think it was the same one where the occupation was ice cream vendor. You know, ice cream truck driver.
Yep.
And so you started out by making sure to show how hot it was.
Yeah.
Like,
it's hot out
super
here.
Super hot. And everybody carried that forward.
Yeah.
It
everybody
was useful.
Carried the
it was useful.
Clear, making it clear that it was super hot.
The same thing with the fireplace where I was like, oh, it's cold. Burr, it's cold in here. We should have a fire. Like, it was very fun to see that.
It's, and you know, you'll get someone, like the first person that's getting the other person to guess, if they get it wrong or they get it close, then there's that cascading effect because what happens
just
is
like telephone.
That guesser kills the first person, and then the next person is brought in totally unaware, and so the second person has to then gesture and gibberish to the third person to get them to guess those three things, and the second person gets killed. Then we bring in the fourth and final person who has to get mimed and gibberished to from the third. And then we ask the fourth person, okay, what was the occupation? What was the location? What was the murder weapon? And for when they don't get them wrong, we kind of work our way backward asking the people until we figure it out. But because everyone else in the room knows what the answers are and what's being communicated, there's this like in-joke quality to it.
Right.
It's very fun.
It's entertaining for the viewers no matter what. If you're getting it, they're like, dang, all right.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting it, they're like, I see what's wrong.
Yeah. What are more games we played that we
One
liked?
One game Molly and I played that I played, I think, at Omega Springs, so I'd played it before, but super easy, and I like it. It's called Mantis, and you've got cards with pictures of mantis shrimps on them, and they're all different colors, and it's very, very simple. There's a stack of cards in the middle that has three colors on the back. And so what it's telling you is the shrimp on the other side of this card is one of these three colors. And so you have to choose whether you're going to score or steal. And scoring means if you draw a shrimp that's the same color as a stack of shrimp you already have, you get to move those shrimp to the score pile. And steal means I'm looking at, say, Molly's group of shrimp and going, oh, well, I have a two in three chance of stealing her one of her piles of shrimp. So I'm going to try and steal. And if the color matches a pile of shrimp that Molly has, I steal that pile. I don't score it. I can't score
it. They just go live in your tank.
Yeah, they just go live in my tank until I score it. And all you got to do, the winner gets is the person who has 10 cards first in their score pile. So it plays really fast.
Yeah, we played a two-player game of it, and the two-player rules are actually pretty interesting. So you play to 15, and then also if you do steal successfully, you get to take another turn.
Oh.
So it kind of ups the stakes a little bit in a two-player game, but it was super fun. I want to buy that game, legit. Yeah.
And it's an exploding kittens game.
It's just a deck of cards. That's it. It's super simple. You can learn to play it in 5 minutes easy.
It also comes with a printed booklet version of the Oatmeal's Why I Love the Mantis Shrimp comic, which is one of the best comics that he's ever made.
Molly and I played a cooperative two-player trick-taking game called The Fox in the Forest Duet.
I think there's a game called The Fox in the Forest, and this is the two-player version.
Right. Yeah, that's often a convention, a naming convention.
Or duel. But there's a little forest path where there's like a central point and two trails that branch out, one toward each player. And there's like three suits of cards of varying worth or value.
Like 1 through 10.
And some of them have little paw prints on them. And so without talking or collaborating or communicating, you are putting down a card, and then your partner's putting down a card, and there's a trump suit that's active that is changeable through some mechanics, and whoever's card is higher, the character will move in that person's direction the number of paw prints combined on the two cards. But the problem is you're gathering these gems along the paths in both directions, so, and you can't go over. If you go too far in one direction, you'll go off the path, and
there's a penalty.
And there's a penalty that happens there. So you kind of have to cooperatively move this player character back and forth by triangulating your trick taking with your partner and changing the suit and things like that to like move back and forth in tricky ways. And some of the cards have little abilities where you can trade cards with each other or change the trump suit or some other little things. But it plays really quick. It took us a minute to learn. Like, we played one game, we were probably communicating more than we should have.
We were for sure communicating more.
Because we had to figure out
the rules. Yeah, yeah.
But now that we know the rules, I think it would be harder.
I'll play it again.
Harder and easier. Easier because we know the rules and the mechanics, but harder because we'd be stricter about not communicating. But it's an easy, good one, and it's a fun two-player cooperative.
Yeah,
I like that.
It was super fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna a game that I played that's like a OmegaCon favorite, and I think I mentioned it a couple of years ago when it first became popular here. But there's a couple of expansions. It's called Pictures, which is just a grid of pictures are laid out in the middle of the table, and you get a chit that tells you which picture on the grid you have to try and get people to guess, and then you get some materials, and they're like. One of the materials is a couple of shoelaces, and one of the materials is some sticks and some rocks. Mm. And you have to use those materials to try and emulate the picture
that's in the
middle of the table.
You have told us about this one, and it sounds intriguing.
There's a game like that came out a long time. It's called Creative Something.
The one you're talking about, Molly, had like a little jar of Silly Putty or Play-Doh or something right? Yeah.
Yeah, and this doesn't. I mean, this has several different things, and so you get one chance at each apparatus. So, at the end of each turn, you pass the apparatus to your left. And then you get a new apparatus, and you get a new picture.
Neat.
So you score points based on if you can get everybody to guess your picture and if you can guess somebody else's picture. So you take a turn going around the table, guessing what picture you think that person had.
So it's competitive, but there's a cooperative element.
There is, yeah. It is Again, another really fast game to play, really fast to learn the rules. Super challenging because you'll and I mean there are some times where it's super simple. Like there was one where one person had a particularly challenging apparatus, which is some pieces of felt and some clothespins.
Oh.
And they did a picture for something that none of us got, and then it passed to the left, and the next person got that exact same picture with that exact same apparatus.
Oh, wow.
So they did the exact same thing, and we're all like, well, I know what that is now. So, yeah. And sometimes that happens, but that's kind of
a salad bowl element where it's like if one person knows what it is because they got caught up on it before, they then are in a position to guess it easier for the next person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are pictures where it's like, even though the apparatuses are different, there's kind of a, we had one picture that was a bunch of leaves with a caterpillar that was sort of in a smiley face shape in the middle of it. And it's like, it didn't matter what apparatus you had. If you had the caterpillar, you just did a semicircle and that was it. And everybody was like, oh, it's a caterpillar.
yeah.
Oh man,
we also played a bunch of Salad Bowl.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah. That's another OmegaCon tradition.
That's a staple. I'm sure people know or can easily find out, but everyone writes names of characters or people.
A person, whether they're alive or dead, fictional or real.
I mean, like Scooby-Doo works, you know.
Yeah, but
Ringo Starr, but not the Beatles.
Exactly. You can't write a policeman, but you could write, you can say, you know, Officer O'Hara, if that's a character.
Right, you
from
can say
like,
Jacob Fry, but you can't say the mayor.
Yeah.
You know, right.
Yeah, it's got to be an actual living or fictional person.
Right.
And, or I guess
character.
Animal, but
it can be
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
And so, and then you're in teams and you're trying to get them to guess. No, there's no passing. You have a time limit and you can't say anything that's on the slip. And there was a great mix of fun and silly stuff as always.
Yeah. The game that we played the most that I think grabbed me the most, that was a two player game, was a game called Boop. There's a game called Boop, and that's just it's just a plain version of the game, and then they've skinned it into the one we played, which was Boop, which was ghost Halloweeny themed.
Oh, okay.
And then there's a Christmas one too, apparently. That's like three dimensional, where you're going up
Christmas
tree.
Is Hoop?
No, I think it's just the cats trying to take down the Christmas tree.
Yeah,
is the idea.
That should be quick.
Yeah. So this is it's a really fun game. The box base flips over, and then you put this quilted board on top that is basically like a chess board, like a little it's just squares, and then you each have eight kittens. And you place your kittens one at a time. But the thing is, wherever you place a piece in every direction, orthogonally and diagonally, all of the pieces that are adjacent to it go out. So if you put a piece down and there's a piece, you know, kitty corner, it would move diagonally out again. Like it's imagining that it's like a bomb going boom. And so everything just gets booped one space.
Okay.
After that, the boops don't chain react. There's no boop that continues. Like it doesn't boop anything else. So that's, you have to kind of strategically use the way things get booped to boop your pieces together, because you can't just have a piece and then put a piece next to it, because that'll boop it over. And the goal is to get three of your pieces in a row.
Right.
In any direction.
While your opponent is also trying to boop your things out of position. Yeah.
Yes. And if you get your three kittens in a row, then you get to exchange those for three grown-up cats in your supply. Now, once you get three grown-up cats in a row, you win the game. So the idea is first exchange your kittens for cats and then try to get your cats placed. But it's just everything. It's very fun. And the one we played introduces a ghost cat element that does
cat.
Additional booping.
There's a ghost cat that runs along the lines of the board going down and it just goes in a straight line from where you start it and moving forward every turn automatically, booping anything in either side of it as it goes.
The Christmas one is called Boop the Halls.
Oh, and nice.
It looks like the board is a little Christmas tree ziggurat.
Yes, I see.
And it looks like there's Christmas ornaments that I think you might be booping and knocking off the tree.
Yeah, I would be terrible at that game. It sounds very entertaining, but spatial relationship games are one type of game where I just
Yeah.
I don't do bad for myself, but when there's another person in there who can strategize, I it's like, you know, playing chess and you're supposed to be able to see your opponent's moves. I can't.
Oh no. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
I just have
I
can barely see my own moves.
Yeah.
Blockus or Tectus attack, not your
not my thing.
I like to play him. I'm just not good at him. Like I have a really fun time playing Boop. Nick kicked my ass both times, like legit.
I tend to do well in games like that, like Netrunner.
Yep. Not Netrunner. Not Netrunner. Android Mainframe.
Android Mainframe, which takes place in the Netrunner universe. Blockus, Tetris Attack, Boop, apparently. I'm all right at that.
I enjoy those games, but I go into them expecting that I'm not going to win.
Yeah.
And if I do, then it's a pleasant surprise, and that's great.
Totally.
And if I don't, then it's not. So
all the games I played.
I have one more that I'm just going to mention because I would like to believe that all of us on this podcast are at least partial fans of the Great British Bake Off. And there's a Great British Bake Off game.
Is it the one, what's her name's game the really super cute.
The twee anime girl?
Yeah, no. From like three seasons ago.
It's an actual GBBO game.
It's an actually branded Great British Bake Off game.
Sure.
So you have a stack of cards and you determine which week it is. It could be bread week. It could be cake week.
Okay.
It really doesn't matter. Yeah, that's it. You've got your stack of cards, and what you have is you'll have a card that will show you the bake that you need to do, which basically involves placing your cards in a certain order on the table.
Hmm.
And there is certain levels of accomplishment. You can have the bottom level of accomplishment, which is a soggy bottom.
Oh, no,
and then
soggy
you can have a great bake, and then you can get a Hollywood handshake. Ooh. if you go above and beyond. So all you're doing is you're going through the cards in your hand to try and build this bake, and you have to build it from the bottom up. So you can't just place a card at the top because the right card came up first.
Right.
And you have three discard piles, so you can discard into discard piles for items you need to use later.
Okay. And then you can draw from your discard piles, or you can only pull the
top card from your discard pile.
Okay.
So you can bury cards if you just don't need them.
Sure.
And there's no timer. It's just whoever can get it done the fastest. So you're cycling through the cards that you have in your hand.
Okay, and you're all playing simultaneously.
And you're all playing simultaneously.
Mm.
And whoever gets it done first gets to take a little chip that's worth 5 bonus points.
Okay.
And the next person gets 3 bonus points, and then 2 bonus points, and 1 bonus point. Okay. So
I kind of don't like simultaneous games.
Well, you know, then you don't have to play it. That's
In general. It's a mechanic that I'm not always a fan of.
Yeah, it's... So, and they get more elaborate as you go. You know, you start with the signature, and then you have the technical, and then you have the, and I just feel the technical should be that it just tells you what you need to bake, and then it doesn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah.
And you have to just kind of guess.
That'd be funny.
And at the end go, how close was it to the diagram? But that's not how it works, and that's probably very difficult to do. But it's really, again, another really fast playing game because there's three rounds.
Nice.
And the rounds are played simultaneously, and it's whoever can go the fastest. So if you can get the Hollywood handshake, it's worth 7 points. A great bake is worth 5 points. A soggy bottom is worth 1 measly point. And you can fail the bake if you miss a card.
Oh yeah,
you can fail the bake because some of these are very elaborate, and you're like, oh damn,
I forgot to put in sugar.
I forgot the sugar.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So it's a fun little game.
That's fun. The game I had been thinking of is called Kim Joy's Magic Bakery, and it's Kim Joy from I think 3 seasons ago at least.
Yeah, I remember Kim Joy.
Did a little card game.
The twee anime girl.
We tried to play that with some friends, and it wasn't good. It was not a good game.
I think I may have done that in an OmegaCon past week.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Was there anything you saw that you didn't get a chance to play that you're intrigued by that is maybe on your radar for future OmegaCons or future purchases?
No, not really. Not this year.
I don't remember.
I feel like I played enough. I played a lot of new games this year.
Yeah.
And so there's like 4 games I want to buy at this point. So I'm feeling pretty solid about it.
At OmegaCon, I usually try to play a game that's like a 2.5 hour game. Just find a long. And I didn't do that this year. So I couldn't even tell you which games those are that I would have liked to play. I have a pile of Kickstarter games at my house that I would like to actually play.
Yeah.
But I haven't done yet.
I saw Jeremy Stomberg put out, had busted out a 1988 Buck Rogers board game that looked remarkably complex for the late 80s.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued by it. I don't know if it's any fun. Who knows? It might feel very dated, but I saw him put them playing it and putting it away, and I was like, "Ah, oh, that looks kind of great, maybe." but I don't know. That was the only one I saw that caught my eye.
Well, that was a successful MegaCon.
It sure was.
Good roundup, everybody.
I also run the movie room, and this weekend we had the theme of punching Nazis. It felt appropriate, and I did actually watch Sisu, which I hadn't watched before, and it's a fine movie about a dude just killing a shit ton of Nazis.
It's on our Plex. We haven't watched it yet, but it's just a Nazi killing from end to end.
Yeah, we should do an episode about it because it's great.
Hmm.
Well, that's our OmegaCon Fall OmegaCon 2024 report. If there's anything you're playing right now, or you have any questions about anything we played, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God, and we'll be back in the future with another geeky episode.
Yes, we will.
Bye.
Yes, king me.
God, we're playing chess, you dolt.
Yeah, you have to kick for the extra point now.
Oh.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
I don't know. I'm pretty geeky about Nazis dying.